the Public Service Daily Newscast for May 14, 2021. I'm Mike Moen. Israel on Thursday said it was massing troops along the Gaza frontier ahead of a possible ground invasion of the Hamas-ruled territory as the two enemies plunged closer to an all-out war. The Associated Press reported that Egyptian mediators rushed to Israel for ceasefire efforts but showed no signs of progress. In a major step toward returning to pre-pandemic life, the CDC on Thursday eased mask-wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people, paving the way for them to stop wearing masks outdoors in crowds and in many indoor settings. As gas stations in Virginia wait for refueling after the Colonial Pipeline shutdown, advocates of electric vehicles say the gas shortage highlights the need to diversify America's energy system. Diane Bernard has more.
The pipeline is the Southeast's primary source of fuel, so this week's cyber attack on it has disrupted daily life for millions. Harry Godfrey with the group Virginia Advanced Energy Economy says some folks couldn't get to work or get kids to school and points to the vulnerability of a fossil fuel transportation system because of its reliance on oil, a single source. Godfrey says an electric system draws power from multiple sources and can bounce back more readily from a breakdown.
From wind and solar generators, from nuclear plants, from hydro, a whole range of resources so that you're not overly reliant upon one individual fuel source. And I think that reduces not just the risk of failure, but the risk of, you know, sudden price spikes that we're seeing occur now.
He says the American Jobs Plan aims to fund a transition from oil-dependent cars to electric vehicles, which would help with gas shortages in the future. The Colonial Pipeline resumed operation Wednesday, and officials say it will take several days to restore full service. Reports of price gouging and panic buying throughout the Southeast fed fears during this week's pipeline shutdown. For Public News Service, I'm Diane Bernard.
In Michigan, environmental groups and others rallied on Thursday to oppose Enbridge Energy's decision to keep its controversial Line 5 pipeline open in defiance of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's order to end operations. Annika Myers of the Mackinac Island City Council says any type of fracture to the aging line, which runs in the Straits of Mackinac, poses a serious threat to the area's tourism businesses and natural resources.
Our drinking water source is Lake Huron, and we would be without drinking water during a major spill event. And in that event, we would be forced to evacuate. The overall effect of a Line 5 rupture would devastate our economy, the history, and our way of life on Mackinac Island.
Canada-based Enbridge, industry groups, and labor unions believe a Line 5 shutdown would ruin Michigan's energy supply and damage the economy. This is PNS. The state of Arizona is offering cash incentives to move thousands of unemployed people into jobs, but as Mark Richardson reports, Arizonans who can't find work could lose out.
On Thursday, Governor Doug Ducey announced the state will use federal money to pay unemployment recipients who get a full-time job a $2,000 bonus, or $1,000 for those who snag a part-time job. But for people who wait or can't find suitable employment, jobless benefits will dwindle and become harder to keep. Andrew Segru with the Arizona Center for Economic Progress believes many who suffered in the pandemic are not responding to the normal economic incentives for work.
Workers aren't accepting business as usual. Disregard for workers' safety and health, exploitation in so many jobs was just laid bare during the pandemic. And I think we're seeing a real reassessment of what workers are willing to accept as the baseline.
Ducey also announced that beginning in September, Arizona will no longer pay the $300 federal unemployment supplement, and anyone still receiving jobless benefits will have to demonstrate they are actively searching for work. Mark Richardson reporting.
Tennessee's attorney general is part of a group that wants Facebook to stop its plans to create a kids' version of Instagram. The group contends using social media can be detrimental to children's health and well-being, and that kids aren't equipped to navigate the challenges. Tennessee Attorney General Herbert Slattery signed the letter, along with more than 40 other state attorneys general. Facebook has said it wouldn't show ads on the Instagram platform for kids under 13, but Chief Deputy Attorney General Jonathan Scrimetti says ads or no ads, the platform will be designed to acclimate kids to social media at a time when they're psychologically vulnerable.
And so they're creating consumers, and they're creating consumers who don't recognize that they're going to essentially be commodified by these companies going forward.
Earlier this year, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg confirmed plans for an Instagram for kids during a congressional hearing on misinformation. A first-in-the-state pilot program could soon offer a different approach to how agencies in Connecticut respond to emergency calls for mental health crises. Michaela Savitt reports.
New London's Director of Human Services, Jeannie Milstein, says this initiative is one result of a citywide public safety policy review committee that targeted mental health as a priority. As many as 3 peer navigators could be added to the city's crisis response team this fall. Milstein says the added support would improve outcomes of mental health calls, especially for frequent callers.
It would be like a warm handoff between the police and maybe a crisis worker and a navigator. And then the navigator develops a personalized treatment plan that uses the person's existing support system.
She says the city council still has to approve the $200,000 program in its budget, but lawmakers are supportive of the initiative. I'm Michaela Savitt reporting.
This is Mike Moen for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations and online at publicnewsservice.org.